Go and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. And as you're turning, if you could stand, if you're able to stand in the honor of reading God's Word. If you're not able to stand, that's fine. Matthew 28, I've entitled this, Go Ye, Go Ye. Who is ye? Yeah, you, me, everybody. Go ye. We're going to start reading in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, Father, we ask that you would bless this portion of Scripture to our heart as we look at the end of the book of Matthew and how marvelous this book is and his final thing to say to these men. One of the final things is to tell them to go and to make disciples. And so, Father, I pray that we would take this to heart and lay it upon our heart and realize it's not just for one or two people, but every born again, bought by the blood, Christian. Well, thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. While we're finishing the book of Matthew, I know when I got here, we kind of started about the last third of the book. but I hope and pray it's been an interesting study for the fact that the book of Matthew is written to Jewish people, and you kind of got to get into some of the customs and the lifestyle and what it was like then, some of their, even some of their superstitions, their religion, and why they would say the things they would say and do. And, but it gets us in a place where we have to learn some of the things of the Jews, and so we can glean from what the Word of God has to say and make it more personal. But with that, it causes a Gentile to be forced to learn of, not only of the Jewish people, but Jesus Christ was a Jew. And, He lived the Jewish life. He lived the law. And we have to, and He did everything perfectly. Just as when it comes down to his trial and his torture, his death, his resurrection, just as the Old Testament had stated, and perfectly of being the God's Lamb, God's redemption. He is the one who bought us back. He is the one who saved us. He is the one whose blood was sprinkled upon the mercy seat. And so the instruction and command to go and preach the gospel is said in all four gospels in one way or another, and is a combination of these, the culmination of the books, of going and telling people of Jesus Christ, who He is, what He's done. today, there are people that, okay, they know of Jesus Christ, but they know of Jesus Christ, but you would be surprised how many people have never heard anything of what the Bible says. In the United States, it will blow your mind. The first time that I was still in the Navy, I hadn't retired yet, and I had been talking to a fella. He was from Gallatin, Texas. And I mentioned Moses, I mentioned Goliath, I mentioned those, and he looked at me and he goes, I have never heard of those people. I says, how about Adam and Eve? He goes, I heard of them. You know, and I'm like, oh. And it really kind of set me back. I'm thinking, Texas? Everybody's heard of Jesus Christ in Texas. And, he'd heard of them, but not the biblical way. And,
What year was that?
That was 1989, 1990. And so, it just kind of blew me away. But this is the culmination of these books. It's why Jesus came, born of a virgin. He lived the life he did. He ministered for over 3 years. He trained the disciples the way that he did to prepare them for what was to come. He died the way he did, was very specific. As the Lamb of God, we saw how, why, when it all occurred, and how it all occurred perfectly, as instructed by the Old Testament. Buried in a rich man's tomb, he was in the ground 3 nights and 3 days. He rose from the dead. He was seen 40 days and was seen ascending to heaven bodily. I mean, he just rose. I mean, you say, well, he levitated? He levitated right out of sight. And will he return? Of course he will. How are you so sure? He came the first time. And he said he was going to come back. And everything he has said has happened. Everything. And so now, he says, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. He says that in verse 19. Now those three words are very instructive words, as we're going to see. Just those three words. Go ye therefore. And what was the result of a risen Savior and his instructions? Well, Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, he says, and when they, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. You know, you would like to think there were thousands and tens of thousands and tens of thousands that went out. But honestly, there were very, very few. Very few that went out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, it took a persecution to get the Christian people out of Israel and get them moving, to get them out of there, to disperse them. And they went all over the known world. There have been cases, they said, they've reached as far as England. And we know that Thomas had reached India. As a matter of fact, there's groups of believers down there who were the result of Thomas going down there preaching the gospel to this day. And you think, well, that's amazing. Well, you know, it really shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be. My son, I remember he called me from, when he got back, he went down on a detachment to Sri Lanka. And was working with Sri Lankan military. And he was with an army major down there. And this guy asked him, he says, do you want to go to church with me? They're having a Christmas service and my daughter's in it. And so they went to William Carey Baptist Church. And you think to yourself, oh my goodness, we read about William Carey, but it doesn't really sink in till you realize that they got churches in India and Sri Lanka where it had filtered down to Sri Lanka. William Carey Baptist Church, and went there and they sang all the songs. Now he didn't understand the language, but he knew what they were singing about. And so, you know, and that's a blessing to know that infallible things happen with the Lord. And so this is that message, is to make disciples. And the first point I want to look at is, go ye into Galilee. Now, when the Lord rose from the dead, and the ladies came and to they were going to take care of the body of Jesus Christ, he says, tell them to go into Galilee and I'll meet them there. Go into Galilee and I'll meet them there. And he said, and you're probably thinking, you know, why Galilee? Why go to Galilee? Couldn't he just meet us here in Jerusalem where we're at? It sure be a lot more convenient. Now we're talking probably just over a 60-mile trip. It's going to take 3 days to get there because the average traveling at that time was about 20 miles a day if you walked. And so they would walk 20 miles a day. It would take 3 days to get there. And this just wasn't getting in the bus or a stagecoach or a train or anything or the car. And next thing you know, you're gonna find yourself down there. So they walked down there, and we could argue why go all that way. But you know, the problem is we like to make things convenient. Convenient. We love our conveniences, right? Do you know Christianity is not really convenient? It makes things kind of inconvenient. This morning you could be sleeping in. You could be doing that. Get up and go do the things you got to do. Tonight, you could stay home and do some things, maybe watch football or eat or take a nap or just hang out. You could do that. But it's inconvenient to come here on Wednesday. It's inconvenient to do the things that a Christian does. And you say, well, we don't have to do that as believers. Well, if you want to have any kind of spiritual growth and whatnot, it is one of the things that God has provided for us. A church, you say, well, we have a church building, you know. Yes, we have a church building, but that's not the church. When I went to Spokane, we started in a Grange Hall. And man, the wintertime, you'd go in there and it was freezing. And they had an old oil-burning stove and you'd have to turn the heat up and get that thing going. You had to get there early to get the thing warm for people. And when you walked in, it was noisy and echoey and all this stuff. And we had to set up all the chairs and, you know, wheel out the pulpit, you know. We had, you know, and then we'd have to bring out the Lord's Supper table. And, you know, you always had to, you know, wheel us doing this kind of thing. You had to set everything up, you know, and get out the piano, get all this stuff. And people are coming in and they, oh my, it was a hassle, but it was a lovely time. It was a lovely time. And, but it wasn't convenient. And at the end of Sunday, I'm telling you, people had that thing down. And man, everything was put away. Everything was put away, I'm telling you, in about 3 minutes, I think. And our church, we could put it in the closet and still have lots of room, you know. That included everything, all our books and everything. So it was inconvenient. But you know, it was a blessed time. And there was a time in Israel when Israel was split in the Old Testament. You had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. You had Israel and Judea. And up in Israel, you had the majority of the tribes up there. And so what they did was they set up calf worship in three areas to make it more convenient. Why have to go all the way to Jerusalem? Why go all the way down there to have to worship? We can do it right here. We've got these things set up where you can do it. Well, it was wrong. It was paganism. It was right out of Egypt. And it was wrong. There's times that it's just not convenient. It's just not convenient. And so what these disciples did, they made themselves available. You know, you've heard it said before, the greatest ability is availability. You know, and that's the truth. There are people that can't do a lot of things. You know, I know that when we bought our first church, you know, we'd go around and have to fix a bunch of stuff. And I'd pick up a hammer or something, and some of the guys would say, Pastor, put the hammer down. What do you think you're going to do with that? You're going to put a hole in the wall. You know, and You want to start banging on things. You know, why don't you just throw stuff away? That thing, you won't break stuff, you know. And I said, okay, you know, there's stuff I can do. I can throw things away. And man, when I threw stuff away, I would get a dumpster and throw them away. All I'm saying is, it's not convenient. It's not convenient to have to come and clean things. But if you're available, let me tell you something. You're going to be open for the greatest blessings that God's going to do. And if you're not there, if you miss it, you miss it. And when people tell you about it, it's just not the same. Because you're not going to be as excited as they are telling you. Well, I'll get the tape. You know, it's just still not the same. You know, it just isn't the same. Because Christianity is a narrow way. It's a narrow road. And so these disciples made themselves available to the Lord and they went. And I'm telling you, people miss some of the greatest blessings. I know years ago I would get lazy. When I first got saved, I'd get a little lazy. Even though I loved going to church, I'd get lazy. Well, this one morning I was feeling lazy. I said, I just don't think I'm going to go today. And, you know, and my wife is up and she's getting the kids ready. And, let's just pass today. And she says, you know, well, brother so-and-so is coming to church. He's visiting. He's going to be preaching. He is. Well, man, I was ready to go before anybody. I love listening to this guy preach. And I wasn't going to miss it when that guy, if I'd have stayed home, I'd have missed it. I remember the first time I went to Sunday school. I messed up. I forgot to set my clocks back, you know. And my wife and I, we come walking in, you know, and I thought, well, this is a pretty small crowd for morning service, you know. And the pastor's standing up there and he's looking at me like he knew exactly what happened, that I did not set my clock back. And I walked in and he's going, boy, did you mess up. But Sunday school was so good, I just had to go back. You know, it's funny how God gets you in a place where you want to be, you know. And there were times that happened. There were things that happened. If you weren't there, that I'd have missed it. And all I could do was hear about it. I wasn't there when my two girls got saved and baptized. I wasn't there. I was gone. You know, I was on deployment. And I missed that time. I don't regret being in the military. But I wished I was there when they got saved. And I'm glad they got saved. And so, listen, Christianity is not convenient, and we are to make ourselves available. Now, I think, what was it, the last work day we had, and we were going to bring down these pews, right? It was going to be easy, right? Didn't I say it? Oh, it was going to be simple. Well, I was thinking about different pews, not these. He ended up having to take them apart, and Brother Carmichael, he was comic relief. He was just telling everybody how to do it. He supervised everything tell them how to, I mean, they had to take these things apart and put them back together. And Brother Carmichael, he was supervising and I hope you don't fall through them, but I'm sure that they work pretty well now, you know, but it was enjoyable. I had a good time. And things got done, and you know, if I wasn't here, I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much as I did. But they went to a certain mountain in Galilee, and most likely this is a mountain where the Lord was transfigured. One thing is when Jesus Christ would meet these men, they never met him in some dark corner or some cavern to hide in, because Christianity is lively and fresh. And I like the fact that Christianity is alive, because we have a living God. Our God is not like when I went to Kamakura, Japan, and they have the great Buddha there. It's been there for, I don't know, 800 years or something, and people were walking in. I said, I'm not going in that thing. I just got to make sure that people are walking out. They come in, but I'm not seeing people walk out. I have no reason to go in and inside that Buddha. But the fact of the matter is, I would watch these people worshiping, and taking their little joss sticks and sticking them in the ground and praying for people to a piece of metal. It was sad. One day I'll tell you about my temple tour I took in Singapore. It was sad to see people who are stuck in something. It's sad. And it's a dead religion. Christianity is a living religion. And one thing these men did, they learned to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, because if they did listen to Him, something was going to happen. Always something happened. And so these men went to meet Jesus Christ separately, but they all came together. And so Jesus had appointed them a time and a place to meet Him, to arrange it in an orderly place. And this is what the Lord's all about. He's all about order. And so the Lord stirred them up to get there. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, it says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them beneath them on her wings." Now here's what they'll do. They'll try to get these little eaglets out of those nests. The mama eagle get up there and start fluttering and trying to get them going and almost just knock them out of the nest. And normally they're really up high. And if they fall out down off if they start flying and they can't fly and they start falling, that eagle will come down and get underneath, swoop between them or underneath them and lift them up. Lift them up high and then drop them again and let them drop until they get up there and then they can learn to fly. See, it's not always easy for you to learn to fly, and God will help you as God maybe will send you or go ye or whatever you do. He is with you, because if you fall, He'll be there to catch you. This is what He said. And He said, "Well, sometimes I don't feel like I was caught, that I hit with a thud." Well, normally when I hit with a thud, it was normally my way of doing it. Have you ever seen it as my way or the highway? Well, with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is His way or the highway, because you're going to fall hard right in the middle of that highway. You know, but when it's Him, He'll take care of things, and you just stand amazed and see what He does. And because He is going to lose none of us. When you are saved, He's going to know where you're at all the time. Even in your darkest days, He knows you're there. You say, "Well, sometimes I don't feel Him there." No, but His Word said you'll be there. Approach Him. You know, the Scripture says, "Draw nigh to Me and I will draw nigh to you." You draw to Him, He'll get close to you. The closer you get to Him, the closer He gets to you. So when you move in, He moves in. See what I'm saying? He's always there. He's always accessible. He is always available. The only availability that has a problem is us. So they came and worshipped Him. Look at verse 17. "And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him." Now, don't be offended by what this means. It means they came and they prostrated themselves before Jesus Christ. What they did is the idea of a dog coming up to his master and licking the hand of the master. And you say, "Well, that's rude." No, this is the idea that when you have a dog that's so devoted to you. But see, this is the idea. You say, "Are we dogs that we have to come to?" That's what I'm saying. Don't be offended by this stuff. It's the idea, because He is God in the flesh. He is the one who has sought us. He is the one who has bought us. He is the one that keeps us. He is the one who loves us unconditionally. He is the one who wants to teach us. He is the one who wants to bring us to heaven. He is taking care of everything, and He is worthy of our worship. But look what it says here in verse 17. "But some doubted." Do you ever doubt? You know, this is Scripture is so good because, you know, if this was written by man, you know, they would say no one doubted. Matthew chapter 14, if you want to turn back there for a minute. Matthew 14. This is when the Lord told them to go out and get to the other side. And they got out in the middle and they got into the big storm, you know. And here comes Jesus Christ walking on the water. And they're going, oh! It scared them. They lived in fear, you know. Is it an apparition? What is this? And so look in verse 27. And it says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Because they were scared to death. They were scared to death that they were going to sink. They were scared to death of what they saw, him coming on the water. I mean, how many people have you seen walk on the water out in the middle of a storm? And so he says, be not afraid. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched, isn't that good? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? It's the same idea as he's saying over here. He says, and some doubted. Same idea. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Jesus Christ will dispel all our doubts. He will take your doubts and he will fix them for you. He will show himself very, very faithful. And it really shows the integrity of the Scripture that he says some doubted. But when they get closer, see, this is the thing. When we draw to Christ, he draws close to us. And let me tell you, he wants to dispel all your doubts of who he is. He is the one when Peter calls out, Lord, save me, what did he do? He immediately stretched his hand out and grabbed him. Now, he was reaching, but he grabbed him, and the Lord took care of him. Why? Because he listens to us. Acts 1:3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In other words, those infallible proofs, those correct teachings, what he's doing, everything that he taught his disciples, he proved to them. That he would rise from the dead. That all the things that he said he was going to do, he did. It was infallible. The teaching was perfect because the Scripture that we have is inerrant. It is infallible. So the teachings we get from the Word of God, they are without mistakes. And the teaching is perfect when he deals with us. Now, like I say, it may be a little inconvenient to deal with our children. It may be a little inconvenient of having to submit to somebody. You don't feel that you have the need to submit. You know what I'm saying? Why should I submit to them? Are they better than me? Maybe not. But it's not about them. See, that's the problem. It's not about them. It's about us. He says, I want you to submit. Submit yourselves to people. In a home, submit yourselves to each other. You know, when there's submission, and I'm not talking 50-50, I'm talking 100-100. You can't you don't have a problem with that. You know, you just hope that someone else doesn't take advantage of that. But the problem is somebody will. I'm not saying in the home, but somebody will. But see, that's their problem, not ours. Okay? And you say, well, I don't get that. No, you really don't. But you hope that you will. And so, do you have doubts? You know, is my first recommendation for you is just to get closer to Him. And when one is to worship, is to focus in a greater way on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I pray that, brother and sister, that you would have courage, your own courage, that you would be submissive, committed, that you would trust Him, and pray something like this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Say, why would I ask that? I know that there is, yeah. But He knows there is also, but He also wants to show you so you can deal with it. You can deal with Him. Or how about this? Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Ask Him, Lord, could you wash me thoroughly? Now, we were looking in Psalm 139 and Psalm 51. David said this. And you know something? He had respect and he had confidence in his God that God would take care of him. But you know something? It's not always an easy thing. As a matter of fact, it can be pretty painful when we start seeing ourselves. So the first thing was, go ye into Galilee. They did. And they got to see him and they got to get some instruction. The second thing is to go ye in power. Look in verse 18 of chapter 28. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, and this is what he told them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now that word comes from the word exousia. Power comes a word from exousia. Now here's what it means. It means he has power. He has freedom without limitation. He has complete liberty, mastery. He has competency. He has all authority and he has delegated influence is what it means. He has the ability to influence people where we cannot. You got that? So he says, I am delegating this influence to you by giving you the Holy Spirit to go that you can tell people and then let me deal with their hearts as you deal with them. So what is that all power over? His all power is over all principalities. His power over all powers and rulers of the world, of the dark and wicked spirits. He has power over Satan. He has power over demon bands. Jesus Christ has power over death, disease, and sickness. He has power over earth and heaven. He has power to judge. He has power to forgive sins. That's a nice thing when the judge can forgive you of your sins because he does not judge you as a sinner. He takes care of it all. He can forgive that sin. He has the power to lay his own life down and he has the power to lift it up again. He has power over everything. The Father committed all judgment to the Son, according to John chapter 5. And so we have the very judge who will judge sins is the very one who cleansed us from our sins. Isn't that a good thing? You say, well, I think that's fixed. Well, of course it's fixed. It's fixed properly, not in the wrong way. I mean, we so much... Don't you hate talking about politics because it's so fixed? You know? Well, this is fixed, but it's fixed right. He fixed it properly, but we've got to submit ourselves to Him. Go ye into Galilee, go ye in power. But then He says, go ye therefore. Let's look at that. Verse 19, go ye therefore. We got go, that means Ready? Go. And we got ye. Ye is who? Us. Me. You. All right? That's all of us. Go ye therefore. Well, what is the therefore, therefore? What is therefore, therefore? Anyway, it's an interesting word because it means that because Jesus called the people, he appointed them or assigned them or ordained them. Therefore means because we fall prostrate and worship him is our authority to invade nations, tribes, and races with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what that therefore is there for. Is what it means. He gives us what we need to share the gospel with others. How many are blinded by humanism, communism, Hinduism, Confucianism? Now, Confucianism is now the national religion of China. Did you know that? It is. And the reason they chose Confucianism, because it has no God. All it is just a way of living. Okay, that's all it is. That's all Confucianism is. Islam, cults, paganism. I mean, goodness, we're talking about billions and billions and billions of people. Billions. What is a billion? More than you can imagine. All right? And it says to teach. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now that word teach, it means to learn or disciple. Disciple people. Go and make disciples. Teach them. Have you ever discipled somebody? I mean, just discipled maybe a couple or a person. You just sat down and you just went through stuff with them. I'm telling you, it is a good time. Not just for them, but it's a good time for you because they're going to ask questions you don't know. And when they ask questions you don't know, all you can say is, man, I don't know. That must be good for me. I got to go find that out. And then once you go find it out, you go back and tell them. The only thing is, who's discipling who? Because the fact of the matter is, we're all disciples. If we've come to the point where we think that we have stopped learning, that means that God cannot tell you anything. And that is a sad state. And if God can't, because we know everything, we make ourselves as gods. You know, and that's a sad place. We hear about an individual as a soul winner. That comes from one verse. Proverbs 11, verse 30. Now listen to this. Listen to the whole verse. The fruit of the righteous, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Let me read that again. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. This is the one verse so much is preached about and so much is done. Now here he talks about making disciples. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about this, but Mark 16:15 it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24 verses 46 through 48, it says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. So, to win a soul, and then what? Walk away? Walk away? I went to a church one time and this fella had been there for, I think, 8 years. And he says, since I've been here, I have personally won over 450 people to the Lord. Now, I'm standing in his church and he has about 25 people in it. Right? Yeah. And I kind of looked around. I said, well, where are they? Well, God knows. Don't put this on God. Don't do that. Where are they? Well, God, no. I'm asking you, if you want them, where are they? You must know where they're at. Well, I don't know where they're at. Exactly. They're lost. You didn't win them. You had them pray a prayer. And there was no repentance. Easy stuff. And you can go around and tell everybody what you've done for God. You know something? I get a little bored of what people tell me what they're doing for God. I want to know what God is doing for you. That's more exciting to me. God does marvelous and incredible things. You know, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What is that referring to? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Alright? Let me read this again. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What kind of life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And you say, listen, I've got a lot of joy. Now, what we're talking about is holy, righteous joy, holy love. Is there someone, when you look at them, all you just want to do is just poke them in the eye? Right? Huh? You love them? Yeah, I'd love to. No. Do you love them? Do you love them so much that you wouldn't do that? Say, well, no. That's what I'm talking about. We're talking about God's love. God loves everybody. When I was in the dealing in the prison, and one of my men came to me and said, Pastor, I can't go out anymore. I found out that about half that prison are full of predators, you know. And he says, I can't be around them. I said, that's fine, brother. He says, how can you go out there? I said, because this is where God wants me to be. God loves them, you know. And it didn't bother me a bit going out there, because they still need to hear the gospel. And you know something? It's wide open. You can go preach the gospel. You can preach the gospel. And you show that love. You show that joy. And they would want peace to come to their units. I says, the only peace that they have is if God's peace is within you, and then you go in there. That's how the peace comes. Gentleness. Some of us are not gentle. We need God's gentleness. Some of us, our faith fails, and we need His faith. Some of us are not meek or humble. We need His humility, or we need Him to humble us. But this is what people in this world will experience. They will experience the fruit of the Spirit from you. It is alive and living within you, Jesus Christ. The Lord says, disciples, make disciples, teach them, and you be learning and ever learning. Let us remain disciples. And he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. One cannot be baptized until they are saved. Now, so they are saved. Then you teach what baptism is and what it's about. It's an outward testimony. Let me tell you, I have met people all around the world. When they got saved and baptized, they were thrown out of the house. They were said, you are dead to me, literally. Do not come back to this house. Why? Because they were baptized, they became Christians. But baptism has taken on a whole other thing. Now, it's not a formula. Baptism doesn't save you, it is your testimony and whom you identify with. Groups have taken this out of context. You're not completely saved until you are baptized. And you have to be baptized in the right water, by the right people. Some people are sprinkled as children. I was. Or dipped three times. You got to be dipped three times. I'm baptized in the name of the Father. and the name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost, you know, and now you're baptized. Some people, you got to baptize them face down. Other places, baptize just in the name of Jesus. Some people, they just, you just, whatever. You got to be baptized in the River Jordan to really be cleansed. And it goes on and on and on, but it's not about that. Jesus Christ saves us. And we are baptized as an outward expression of an inward experience. And that experience is a person named Jesus Christ. And we have a relation with Him, and that's what it means. And so verse 20 says, teaching them to observe, discipling them. This is what it means. You got to sit down and teach them. Answer their questions. Right? Just answer their questions. I mean, when you got saved, did you have 100 questions? You know what my first question was? Here was my first question. Can a person who kills himself go to heaven? That was my first question. And the reason is because one of the men that worked for me did just that. And it's what the Lord used to show me where I was going to go if I died. So my first question was, I had to come to the pastor and say, I had to wait some months, but that was my first question. And he showed me the answer. Okay. And that answer, can someone who commits suicide go to heaven? If they're saved. You say, well, a saved person wouldn't commit suicide. You just don't know what's going on. You just don't know what's going on. But yes. You don't see it in here that he makes exceptions. Because once you're saved, you don't lose your salvation. You don't have him. He now has you. Remember this. He has you. Even when you have a bad attitude. You know what I mean? When you get upset at somebody and you get upset at God, he still has you. It's kind of a nice thing. And he goes on to say, he says, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Now, there's a lot of things that they had learned. And then he says this, and lo. You know what that word lo means? Behold. He says, behold, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And behold, I am with you always, everywhere, every time, in every situation. I am there. Behold, wake up. I am is with you. I like that. He puts I am there. Who is the great I am? Jesus Christ. He is the great I am. Behold, I am with you even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, amen indeed. So the conclusion is, go ye. That's not just me. That's not just my wife. It's everybody. He said, well, where am I supposed to go? Wherever God takes you. It doesn't matter where you're at. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter where you're at work. You just went. How do you know? Because he's with you. You don't leave him at home. You don't leave God at church. You have taken the Spirit of God with you. You go to the gym, he's with you. You go to the store, you just hope he's with you more than your appetite. Then you buy too much junk. But anyway, all I'm saying is, he is with you no matter where you go. Go ye. Brother and sister, we've got a great responsibility. You possess him within. Are you a tree of righteousness that possess the fruit of the Spirit? Here's another thing you can ask. God, show me, help me, love, joy, peace. Give me yours, or show me how to do it, or get me to a place that I understand it. Have some courage with him. Ask some questions. Now, I will say this. I want you to do me a favor. Now listen to me. I want you to do me a favor. When you ask God for patience and you start having a tough time and you start, everything's falling apart, do me a favor. Call me. Just call me and tell me how your life is falling apart. Tell me how somebody has put somebody in your, God has put somebody in your life that you want to poke their eye out. What I'm saying is, he's going to, these things don't come but by tribulation. Have you had some problems lately? What you been praying about? What you praying about? You know? That's all I'm saying. He's alive. And you don't think something's going on in your life? He's alive. Visitation has gone down to a few. I know it's cold. Well, why don't we pray when it's cold? Our missions giving, it's gone down a little bit. We had Brother Falfawina here. He was very grateful to be here. He got to meet many of you. And he enjoyed being here. He's our missionary. He said, well, he wasn't sent out from here. No, but we said that we're going to help support him. He's our missionary. He is our friend. He's your friend. And our giving goes down. Don't leave your first love. He's taken good care of us. He has taken very good care of us. And we could always say, well, he could take better care of you. Yeah, and we're so spoiled. We're a spoiled people. You know. One day we should have go on a missions trip and go someplace like up in the mountains of the Philippines. They got nothing up there. Everything they have up there is what they carry on their back. And it's pretty amazing. Or go to someplace where, you know, you got to be careful what you eat or drink or whatever. But I'm just saying is we are a blessed people, and we need to understand that, all right? And the reason we are blessed is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, let's make sure that when we go ye, when we go into our Galilee or our Jerusalem, that when we can go in the power of God, His power. And then you can go ye therefore. In other words, wherever you're going to go, He's going with you. And He's there for you. Amen? And there for others.